chapter 4. Title of my message this morning is Staying Positive in a Negative World. I don't know if you're encountering this at work, or this you're encountering this at home, or you're encountering this in your extended family, or you're encountering this with your neighbors, but there's a lot of negativity out there right now. You turn on the news, you see negative stuff. And it's hard to stay upbeat. It's hard to stay upbeat and when you're kind of locked in your house. It's kind when you can't do the things you want to do. And I got people shaking their head. Totally understand. Totally understand. This is a very bizarre time. I call it bizarre because it's not normal at all. But there's a lot of people out there that's negative. Oh, you can't do this. Or where's your mask? Or what's all this other stuff? And people get mad and do all sorts of things. We need to stay positive in a negative world. And we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9 this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. The real question here is when things happen to us, do we get burdened by them and we live under our circumstances? Or do we as Christians trust in God and rise above the circumstances? You know, there's a lot of things that happen to us that might make us go negative. I'm sure that all of us at one time had a new car. You got a new used car, whatever the case may be. And what did you do to that car when you went to shopping? Oh, I got to go HEB. So you go, instead of parking close to the store, you went as far as you can from that store. You said, no one would ever park here. You go in the store and you come out and you see one of them old, muddy, old trucks parked right by your car. And you come out and you look at that and you go, the gall of that. What on earth? How on earth? Why would someone do that to me? Don't you know I want to protect? Why would he park out there? Why would that person's a nut. And then it gets even worse. You go out and you try to keep the car dent free and everything else, and you go out and you park it far, far away, and you go, and all of a sudden you see a dent on the door. You know, things like that happens to us every day. How do you react to that? Doggone it. I tried to do everything I could to keep it right. Look at that. Look what happened to me. Look what happened. It's not right. And we can live under our circumstances, couldn't we? Well, you know, you kind of have a choice. Your choice is you can live under them or you can live over them. Let me show you some things here. Okay? Now, here's a guy. He's got his back end, right rear fender of this thing, and it's all scratched up. And the response is, "'Tis but a scratch." Tis but a scratch. His mindset is, well, 90% of the car's okay. What about this other 10%? It's okay. It's not that. But I tell you what, when I have my new car, if something like that happened to my new car, I'd be mad. You'd be too. Oh, no, I would. Oh, yes, you would. Don't tell me you wouldn't. Okay? We're all human, right? But it really is a choice in how we want to relate to things. We could look at it as a major catastrophe in our life, or we could see it for just what it is. Stuff happens. Okay? And either we're going to rise above that stuff or we're going to let that stuff bother us. Now, everybody in here has smartphones, right? Or, well, except for David. He has one of them goofy old flip phone things. The point is, you buy these phones, you pay hundreds of dollars for these phones. Well, I get used, but I get hand-me-downs. But the issue is, what do? You get these new iPhone 7s, and then they're obsolete a week later. But you buy a case for them, and you protect them, and one day you drop it, and oh no, and you pick it up and it's okay. And so the case works. But then comes that fateful day that you drop your phone thinking that it would be all right, and it gets shattered. That happened to Kristen's phone, and then brings it up and says, it still works. Yep, that's, you could look at it, it's broken, or does it still work? Well, here's an innovative way. Guy had his phone broken, and it made a spider web type thing, so he put Spider-Man behind it. You know, it's, the issue is, how do you want to live with your circumstances? Do you want to live above them? Or you want to live back? You know, you can make lemonade out of lemons if life gives you lemons. Or think about a bigger tragedy, like a flood. Here's a flood that's come in and it's flooding basements and flooding first floors and flooding streets and flooding cars. And everybody look at, oh, the disaster that is. These guys say, hey, this is time to get out the Queen E model and go out and float it outside. We don't even have to walk to the lake for that. We could just do it right outside our front door. It really is a matter of how you look at it. But then there are some times that the same thing keeps happening over and over and over again. We studied in the book of James that if something keeps on repeating itself, maybe there's a lesson that we need to learn. Maybe there's something that God's trying to teach us. Or maybe just people are just the way they are, like in this one. The guy just keeps on getting rear-ended. If you've been living in San Antonio for any length of time, you keep on getting rear-ended. So he buys a license plate. Please stop. Please stop. Okay? You know, it doesn't matter. What's going to happen is going to happen. The issue is how do we react to it? What can happen to us is an opportunity for us to become discouraged or cast in despair or get disgruntled about something or depressed about it. Or we could just understand that it's the way it is and God will take care of this too. God will take care of this. John chapter 16 verse 33, way of introduction. Christ told this. He says, before he went to the cross, he said, these things have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. There's two fundamental truths in this verse. The only peace that you can find in this world is through Christ. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you do not have peace with God. And therefore, you don't know peace at all.
Right.
And everything else you go out and you're going to find out it's going to be a very temporary peace or very fleeting peace. And you'll never find satisfaction in anything else except God.
Right.
You need a relationship with Him.
Amen.
The second truth in this verse is this. It says, you will have tribulation in this world. Don't look to your house or don't look to your job or don't look to this to give you peace and satisfaction, although we can do all things heartily to the Lord. But those things aren't going to bring you lasting peace. Those things aren't going to bring you things. Those things are there and they could be an irritant. And circumstances are going to come in your life that you could choose whether or not to live under them or live over them. You live under them when you do it your way. You live over them when you do it God's way.
Amen.
And God says, look, Christ says this. He says, hey, when things happen to you, understand that it's going to happen to you. If it's happened to me, it's going to happen to you. And I'm so glad that we have a Savior who's touched the same way that we're touched. Went through the same life struggles that we go through, yet without sin. To give us victory. He says, but be what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's a third fundamental truth in here. We're more than overcomers through Him that loved us. And so we need to understand that we have circumstances. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have persecution. We're going to have trouble. We have one now. Look at the situation we are in right now. Hey, a year ago, would you have ever thought we'd be like this today? No. And everybody's asking why. And everybody's getting stir crazy by being locked up. And now people are, where's your mask? What you're doing? You're violating the law. No, we need to do what God wants us to do. You know, we live in a negative world. And we can allow negative things to impact us and we can have a negative viewpoint on life. Or we could realize that it is part of creation. It is part of the sin of the world. You know, it says by one man sin entered the world. In Romans chapter 8, it says that all creation groaneth. All creation groaneth because of what we've done. Waiting for the redemption of God. And so we are in a negative world, but I serve a God that's much greater. Paul says, I think that the suffering of this present time not to be compared to the glory that I will receive. Now, how do you get negative? We worry about stuff. Now, there's been all sorts of studies on worry. This is one that I found that was interesting. In this passage, it talks about that be careful or be anxious about nothing. But here's some worry statistics. 40% of the things that we worry about never, ever happen. And hadn't that been true in our lives? I guarantee it's been true in my life. And we worry about something, and something never happens. Or 30% worry about something that's happened in the past. You can't go back and undo it. It's done. And they let that impact the way you live now. We don't live in the past. We live in the present. We're looking to the future. The third thing is that 12% have needless worries about health. I think we all know someone that when there's a new disease or something comes out, they've got it. And they'll go and they'll look on the internet and everything else. And they'll try to figure out, I got all those symptoms. I must have done. And they try to get all these tests and all these things. And then find out that they don't know. I had a coworker that was like that. And he thought he had all these things. And the doctor said, you'll die one day. One of these things will get you, but it's not now. But, you know, people worry about their health. And then sometimes, have we ever had those instances where we worry about something that's really a small thing? And in the end, when we get through that thing, we look back at it and say, why was I even concerned about that in the first place? And so we conjure up all these things. We conjure up all this stuff. And this worry can come in here and make us a very negative people. Now, truly, there are sometimes that about 8% are actually legitimate concerns. So now we're going to do math in public here. So if 8% are legitimate, that means 92% of your worry time is wasted effort. Stop worrying! Stop worrying. Oh, it's easy to say. It's hard to do. Totally understand that. Oh, yeah. Totally understand that. You know, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes to the church, and he says this. He says, finally, at the conclusion of his letter, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Be happy. We started out 2 months ago, and can you believe that we've been going through this COVID thing for 2 months now? You know? We basically said, take your place, stand fast, as he was talking to Daniel. Okay? Stand fast, okay? Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you. So Paul, you know, it's something we need to be constantly reminded of. We need to be constantly reminded of God's blessings. We need to be constantly reminded that there are bad circumstances in the world. We need to be constantly reminded that there's things that happen to us every day. And it's a choice for us to either serve God or not.
Right.
And so Paul says, to write the same thing over, if it's going to change your attitude, it's not bad for me. If it's going to change the way you act, That's not bad. I'll keep on writing until you change. And we'll keep on preaching until we get it. Okay? He says, for me, it's not grievous. It's not a hard thing to do. It's not hard to help someone. It's not hard to tell them that, yeah, you can get above this. He says, but for you, it is safe. Now I have a secret. There are some Christians out there that are negative people. No. Everybody lives a victorious Christian life. No one ever gets upset. No one ever gets that way. No. There are a lot of negative people out there. You may have some in your family. You may have some in your church, in our church. They're going to be around us all the time. My wife and I have discussions over time. I'll say something, and the very first word, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Don't stick your tongue out at me. That's not going to happen. I'm going to say this. Why? Why do we constantly have to disagree on the possibilities here? You know, are you a glass half full or a glass half empty type of a person? Both saying the same thing. Yeah. Uh-huh. What you want to feel like that. You need this message, okay? So the issue is this. Sometimes Christians are negative people. Sometimes we get negative. And my point is this. How are we going to turn that negativity out of our lives? How are we going to change that to be positive and to have a perspective of Christ through all these times? So as we look through this passage this morning, I want to examine three things. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, be careful for nothing. That's interesting now. Now that we looked at those worry statistics, because 92% of the things that we worry about is nothing. Isn't it? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I want to point out three things that will keep us positive in a negative world. And make your perspective different than what the perspective of the typical human is. The first one is that we need to respond to God's love. We need to respond to God's love. We get these things happening in our lives, and oftentimes we blame God. This week, there was a situation, and people said, why is this happening to us? God will take care of it. God will take care of it. So we must respond to God's love. You know something? Here is a fact, folks. God wants to help.
Amen.
However, the Bible says in James, it says, ye have not because you ask not. And what God wants us to do, He wants us to become more dependent upon Him and increase our faith in Him. God wants to help. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, casting how much? There's that word again. All. Not, that means the little itty-bitty things, the dent on your door, and the great big thing, if some wrecking ball fell and just crushed your car. Okay? But in casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. He cares for you as a loving father would. He cares for you as only the God of creation could care for you. These verses talk about prayer. But the issue is the whole opportunity to pray is because He loves us. That's the whole privilege that we get. In Psalm 115, verse 12, the Bible, the psalmist says this. It says, "The Lord hath been mindful of us." In the little children's church segment thing, it said, "Fear ye not, for you've got more value than many sparrows." See, we don't think that people care. People in the world don't care. But God does.
Amen.
And we, following God, should care for one another. And we need to understand that we need to respond to God's love because God wants to help. But you can't help someone who refuses help. You can't help someone that says, "No, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to bask in my negativity." Those people are going to be like, they need a change. I want to tell you this morning that God wants to help. The second thing is that if you have Christ as your Savior, you need to remember past blessings.
Amen.
God wants you to remember His past blessings. In Psalm 68, verse 19, it says, "Blessed be the Lord." Now, verse 6 says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." The issue is that the talk about blessed is, we're saying blessed. The psalmist is saying blessed. Thank you, Lord, for what you do. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, or Lord, you're great. Blessed be the Lord who daily, what does it say? Loadeth us. He doesn't ration it out. He loads it out. He just dumps it on us. Okay? Loadeth us with what? Benefits, even the God of our salvation. Say, God's not going to dump benefits on your life unless you know Him as your Savior. So if you don't know Him as your Savior, today you need to have a relationship with Him.
Amen.
Because if you don't have a relationship with Him, you do not have peace.
Right.
Psalm 103, verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, what makes me me, and forget not all His benefits." I think a lot of Christians, especially the whistle, they forgot what God has done for them. They forget what others have done for them. And they just go from crisis to crisis and they're a sourpuss. We need to remember. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." Psalm chapter 116, verses 12 to 13. What shall I render? And then the psalmist asks this, says, what can I talk about? How can I repay? How can I do all those things? What shall I render to the Lord for what? All His benefits towards me. God loves you. God doesn't want, He wants you to have life abundant and joy to the full. He knows what you're going through. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. Salvation is actually a three-phase thing. We are saved in the past from our sins. The moment you get saved, that's in the past, and now you start in your life. We are continually be saved and delivered now. And then we will be redeemed and saved in the future. You take the cup of salvation. If you know Christ as your Savior, you can take that cup of salvation and apply it now. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You need a relationship with Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
We need to respond to God's love because He wants to help us. We need to respond to God's love because of all, we need to remember His past blessings. We need to respond to God's love because His peace will keep us. The God of creation that made all this for us went and died on the cross because He loved us. And He says, "My peace I give unto you." In John chapter 14, verse 27, He says, "Peace I leave with you." Why? Because Christ is now in heaven again. "My peace I give with you, not as the world giveth," because it can't, "give I unto you." And then it gets into this. You know, rising above your circumstances or living underneath them is an issue of the heart. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. neither let it be afraid. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, we just concluded the study in Colossians. But the Bible says this, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. I guarantee you the peace of God is not ruling in your heart when you get upset about every little thing that happens in your life. That's not living victoriously. That's not living as an overcomer. That's living and being enslaved. Being enslaved. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. It has first place. To the which you're called in one body, and I want everybody to read this, and be ye thankful. You know, it's hard to be upset when you're thankful. You can't be mad at God when you remember His benefits. Okay? You can get upset of other people, but realize what other people did to Christ. He says, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. So you've got to respond to God's love because He wants to help. Got to respond to God's love because He wants you to remember the stuff that He's done in the past for you. And then we need to respond to God's love because His peace will keep us from getting negative. The love of God, as is revealed to us on a daily basis, should cause us to cease to be negative. You think you had trouble? Look at what Christ went through for you. So we need to respond to God's love. Secondly, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. A very familiar verse. Finally, brethren. Now he's talking to who? Christians. Fellow believers. This applies to us. It applies to us. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You first need to respond to God's love. The second thing is you must reprogram your way of thinking. See, negative people never think that anything's going to go right. They look like Eeyore. Oh, woe is me. And we all know people like that. We're constantly being bombarded with negative messages. People say ugly things to make them feel superior to us or to you. You go and you turn on the news. And I mean in this instant 24-hour news cycle thing, it just keeps on over and over and over again talking about the good stuff that's happening in the world. Nope. Talking about all the bad stuff that's happening in the world. Okay? And it's bad news. And it's bad news. I tell you what, you think on bad things, your thought life will be bad. Your attitude will be bad. You think on good things, it'll turn out good. So the issue is true, honest, just, pure. Look, that ain't happening in the world. The world cannot deliver this. Even the good guys in the world don't live like this. Okay? Lovely, pure, good report, virtuous. We need some of that in the world today, don't we? Okay? And praise. We're constantly bombarded with the negative message. It's no wonder why people are acting the way they do. No wonder why we're doing the things that we're doing in this time as a nation, as a society. We've all been around negative people. And, you know, sometimes you just can't avoid it. They're there. They're your co-workers. But the issue is, Don't have to listen to them. You pray for them. Don't have to listen to them. You can tell some opposite good things. We got people who are always wondering about pay and always wondering about who's doing what and always wondering about who's going to get this and who's going to do that and why am I doing this sin and why not you're doing this. Let it go. Things are going to happen the way it is. I had to learn this lesson this week. This is a great example. A great example. Normally, at work, we will do the evaluation flights or evaluation simulators for the students that we're teaching. And so I look at the schedule on Thursday, and I look, and I'm not doing the student that I just trained to get him up to his evaluation flight. And I sat there and I said, you know, that's not right. It's not the way we've been doing it. That's not that. In fact, that was scheduled for someone else. And he comes to me and he says, hey, that's not right. He said, that's not right. I said, you know, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll give up the sim that I've been assigned to. You can go do that sim so you can take care of your students so you'll feel better. Okay? And then my other student was ready. And so he goes to the guy who is, I call the mad clicker, and he passes his sim. But we never know what can happen. In the middle of the sim period, that if I had fought for my sim and I would have been in the simulator, I get a message from Mindy Vergas. Jason is in distress. And all that stuff, we know about Jason. And because I wasn't in that sim, I could be over there at the house when the ambulance came. I followed the ambulance to the hospital. I got to pray with the family. And then the next day, the same thing happened, and I got to be able to take Jason home. So even though when things don't go the way you want to do it, give it to God. God's going to use something to do a good thing. And that was a big life lesson. It's a big life lesson. I didn't even get really irritated. I just told the schedule. I said, why are you doing it this way? We haven't done it this way before. Everybody else is getting to do it. Okay? But I learned a lesson. Okay? And folks, we need to understand that when things don't go our way or we have negative people, because I really think the schedule's got it in for me. Doesn't matter. I may not be there much longer anyway, but that's the point. People are out to get what they want. And you could turn that in and say, I'm going to get even, or I'm going to glorify God. Which is the choice? Which is the choice? You know, we're all around negative people. But there are positive benefits being around positive people. See, here's what Paul wrote to encourage the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he says this. He says, wherefore comfort yourselves together. Boy, that's a lot different than what the world does. You pick up the phone and you start telling about your problems, and all of a sudden they're telling about your problem, and their problems are bigger than your problems. You go, hang up the phone. Why didn't they call in the first place? That didn't do me any good. That shouldn't be the way it should be in a Christian's life. It says, wherefore comfort yourselves together. It's not about you. It's about them. It's about God. It's about serving Him. It says, comfort yourselves together and edify. That means to build up, not to tear down. You know? You've heard that old saying, with friends like that, I don't need any enemies. And edify one another, even as also ye do. See, God expects us to live above the circumstances. God expects us to live a victorious life. He expects us to live a joyful life. And so we've got to respond, reprogram our way of thinking. Now, I'll give you some building blocks to spiritual thinking. You go read the book of James, but the issue is that you need to devote a devotional life. If you never, it says with thanksgiving, we're supposed to make our request made known to God. If we never take time and pause to remember His benefits will forget them. And we need to make some time to get alone with God and commune with Him. We need to be able to read the Bible daily and pray daily, because all sorts of promises are in here. All sorts of ways of living and getting above this negativity is in here. If you never open up God's Word, how on earth can you possibly say, I'm going to do it? Can't! If you never set time apart for doing it, if you never schedule time alone with God, you'll never do it. The psalmist says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. That's what we need to do every day. This is an opportunity to serve God. And your focus goes from all the problems that you have to all the potential that you have in God. And then expect God to come through. And not look at the circumstances. There's two times that the disciples and Christ are in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. The very first one, Christ said, we're going to go over to the other side. He goes in a boat and goes to sleep. The disciples are in the boat and they're coming across the sea. And all of a sudden a storm comes up and the waves come in the boat. And they're looking around the storm and looking at all this other stuff. And it... Jesus, why are you asleep? Why are you asleep? Why are you resting? We're all going to die. We're all going to perish. Jesus gets up, rebukes the wind. There's a storm, a calm, a storm. And everybody goes, And Christ says, O ye of what? Little faith. See, there's a lot of things that don't happen to Christian's life because Christian doesn't think that it'll happen. We pray and we don't believe that it'll happen. Guess what? It won't. It won't. It won't. You need to expect God to come through. There's a second time. Oh, you know why? Christ was sleeping. Because God the Father said, we're going to get to the other side. You're going to get the other side. We're going to get through this stuff. We're going to get through all this negativity. We're going to get there. Because He said, you're going to get the other side. You have a hope that will endure forever.
Amen.
Then there's the second time. Jesus stays back to pray. He's up on the mountain. He sends the disciples ahead. They're out there. They ain't getting very far because the wind was contrary. They're out there. Why are we out here in the middle of doggone it? We're working so hard, nothing happens. We're not getting anywhere. Christ comes out and starts walking. He's going to pass them by. You know something? Christ will pass you up if you live like that. But He's always there. And so Peter says, hey, that's a cool trick. Lord, if you will, bid me come out in the water and let me walk. Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking on water, and then what happens? He looks around the circumstances, looks around the waves, takes his eyes off Christ, and he has to say, Lord, save me. And then Christ said, ye of little faith. See, we have all these negative things in our life around us all the time for us to look up. He's brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He's done that. Why be negative when we're a child of the King? Last thing is, you can do all these religious things, but you don't clean up your thought life. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. James talks about that. And so we need to think on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely. You're not talking about getting even. You're not talking about getting... You're talking about letting deliverance happen. and you talk about character and good report, and you're caring about what you represent for Christ instead of not. You know, there's the old saying that you are what you eat. But James talks about you are what you think. You think sinful things, you'll get sin. You think pure thoughts, like Paul's writing here, you'll think pure. You need to reprogram the way you think. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God," which is our job. That's our job. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, all these things be added unto you." So we must respond to God's love. We must reprogram our way of thinking. Philippians 4, 9 says, it says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." The third thing is that we need to reach out to lost and hurting people. There are people that need Christ. There are people that need faith. They're saved, but they need and have their faith increased. We need to minister to both of them. I have found that when things are going bad, you do something good. It makes you feel better. It takes your mind off of what you're doing and puts your mind in the proper perspective. You know what Paul was asking for here? He's asking the believers of Philippi to do what he was doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Christ himself said this, for he says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you." You know what that was about? Washing their feet. You know whose feet he washed that night? Judas. You know what Judas did that night? Betrayed him. God knew. Christ knew. Christ knew. But it didn't stop him from doing good. It didn't stop him. He could have said, He could have just zapped him right there. You know, look at Lot's wife. Christ could have done the same thing. He's God. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. So Paul's asking the believers of Philippi to do what? Look at Paul. And so let's look at Paul's example here real quick. There were a lot of things going wrong in Paul's life that we would go, pfft. You know, have you ever said this? "I'll never go back there again." Okay? "I'll never go and talk to that person ever again in my life. As long as I live, God is my witness. That person's nothing to me." Look at Paul's life. See, Paul wrote letters to these places after bad things happened to him. In Ephesus, he caused a riot and he was basically thrown out of the city. In Philippi, he was thrown in a jail. In Thessalonica, he was confronted by the Jews and basically driven out of town. You know, it caused everywhere he went to do the good of God, he met opposition and people against him. You know, we talk about being polarized today. They were polarized back then. But look at what he did. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Philippians 1, 3. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." 1 Thessalonians 1, 2. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in your prayers." He forgot about that jail thing. He forgot about that thing in the amphitheater at Ephesus. He forgot about that thing. He knew that they were there. He still knew they were there. But he also knew that there were good people there too. And he focused on the good, not the negative. And it changed the whole city. You know something? We could do that today.
Yes, amen.
Nothing's stopping us from doing that today. You know why? Because he represented Christ. Because to the Corinthians, his letter there, he writes this. He says, "And in all things are God who have reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus Christ and have given unto us the minister of reconciliation." That was what Paul was doing. He was reconciling sinners to Christ. He was reconciling the lost to Christ. He was telling churches, "Hey, you're going off track here. You need to get back on track." He tells the Philippians, he says, "What those things you've heard and seen in me, do." We need to do the same thing. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You know, we don't deserve salvation, but I'm sure glad we have it. I'm sure glad of God's love that He did those things for us and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, we have ambassadors. We send ambassadors. They send ambassadors. Other countries send ambassadors. I guarantee you, you get recalled as an ambassador if all you do is you trash your country that you're representing. So why do we do it as Christians? Why do we not live a holy, separated life? Why do we live negatively, just like the world? The issue there about being an ambassador is you don't modify to the country that you're there. You understand them and you show how you're different. And folks, that's what we should do. We should show that we're different. Now, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though Christ, God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled unto God. And if you're reconciled unto God, these negative things that are going on in the world won't matter. Because you'll respond to God's love. You'll reprogram your way of thinking. You'll reach out to those that are lost and hurting. Winning the lost and reconciling people to faith, those back to their faith, will bring positive joy in your life. In Psalm 126, verse 6, the Bible says this, "He that goeth forth a weeping." Why was he weeping? Because things weren't going well. A lot of opposition. "But he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." That's witnessing, folks. You want to make your heart do good? Lead someone to Christ. It's the biggest joy you could ever have. It takes away all that negativity. But then, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in fault," this is talking about people in the church. Don't sit there and commiserate with them. Don't come there and just be like them. He says, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Right. See, Paul says, look, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Amen. See, how on earth can we expect to have the God of peace in our lives if we don't do anything for the God of peace? How on earth can we do anything, have the God of peace in our lives, if we don't bring peace to other people? How on earth can we do this if we act like them and we're negative in a negative world? Don't let the world influence you. You influence the world for God. That's what we're supposed to do. Doing what we were created to do in Christ will keep us in a correct focus. And that's what we need. So this morning, which way will you choose? Want to keep on wallowing in your negativity? And want to say, "God, I'm sorry for that. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Cleanse me with hyssop. Make me pure in your sight. And let me go on from here, living a life that's pleasing to you." Or if you're living that, we need to do more. We need to do more. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, to leave all the negative stuff here at the altar, here at the cross. And Lord, I just ask that you just change us, Lord, and make us have a godly influence in the world. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.